Hey guys, just want to let you know the Patreon is up. Check it out, patreon.com/Beer City Media Podcast for all your extra Beer City Media needs. Now on with the show.
Darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the darkness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, Lenore. This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, Lenore. Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping, somewhat louder than before. Surely, said I, surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then what thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind, and nothing more. Open here, I flung the shutter, when, with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas, just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. Then this ebony bird, beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou, I said, art sure no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore. Quoth the raven, nevermore.
Welcome to the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast with Ryan, Larry, Springhill, Josh, and the Luma Mommy herself, Miss April.
Jerry.
And on today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we haven't done this in a while because it's a deathspiracy. But it's the Edgar Allan Poe deathspiracy.
Sweet, please give it to me, yeah, to me, oh, oh,
Mitch in studio.
That sounds like it's Ryan.
I was going to say, you can't convince me that that's an actual bird. It's that's not, just a guy going,
I checked my cloud and I had a crow sound. I was like, well, that's in the bird region.
Okay.
Birds.
Fair enough.
Deathspiracy.
Yes.
Deathspiracy. Well, you know, truthfully. Thank you, Intern Satan. So.
Intern Satan Fonzie.
Good to know. So, you know, this is a Rad Dad Select. And it was something I pushed forward.
Is that
because
your new beer coming out, Red Dead Select?
Ooh,
it is
60 calories.
Oh, don't worry.
Step above when a PBR.
When we do a Skeptid Select or a Alumamami Select or a Beard Select,
that's essential oils for your beard.
Yeah, there'll be all different variations there for it.
Yep.
But truthfully,
Beer Select, maybe. Maybe it's not.
Is it beer?
Could be.
Oh, that would be the tag. It's like half of them are alcoholic and half of them are non-alcoholic. Oh. My
placebo light. Nice cold can of placebo light. Felt like I was drinking beer, but I wasn't.
Mine is just going to be... two-hearted cans with like question marks slapped on with duct tape.
With half-burnt cigarettes hanging out of a can.
Come on, man.
He drinks a little too much, starts drinking out of that can.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's talk about Edgar Allan Poe.
Let's.
I'm Ooh. Excited. I'm really fucking excited.
You're fist pumping.
Again.
Jersey Shore style.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think there's some club music going on or something.
Again, if we, you know... reach that $1,000 a month and we can start filming these.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's what it is.
Edgar Allan J. Wow.
Edgar Allan Yo.
YOLO.
Edgar Allan YOLO. To yeet or not to yeet? That is the question. I know it's Shakespeare, but still.
Oh, I'm sure they were buddies.
Quoth the Guido. Cabs are here.
Guido GTO.
Roth the Ryan. All right, this so we're talking about pre-Civil War era here.
Okay. Quote the Ryan. Beer, pussy, boobs, beer, pussy.
Quote the Ryan. Sure, I'll have another beer.
He's only had one tonight,
quote
though.
Quote the Ryan, rum, nevermore.
True. Very true. I have not had rum since I quit it.
That would be a logical statement, yes.
You know, I haven't peed since I peed.
Okay. I haven't had McDonald's since the last time I had McDonald's.
Good for you.
Oh, thank great. You. Let's pull the fucking Thunderbird to the side of the goddamn road. The Raven? The Raven bird.
You know what? We haven't pulled the Thunderbird to the side of the road since the last time we pulled the Thunderbird
it's
to the side of the
road. Very true. It's been that long.
Mm-hmm.
A week.
We love you, Ryan.
What do we feel about Edgar Allan Poe? Be real about it. When you got exposed, how do you feel about, what do you think about this guy?
I mean, I guess I was exposed the minute I was born, but...
What?
Don't do that
exposed
silly
to
fucking.
All
right, April, go first because Josh is going to do
his rights have been taken away.
He's going to do some dainty shit where he's like, boo, boo, boo,
he
boo, boo.
He asked you to pass the, you know, the aux cord so you can DJ, and it's just nothing but like those heavy metal solos from his list.
Don't need it, April. You know what? I don't mock anybody else here for the music they like.
Wow, you
oh shit.
Well. Well, you know why? Because we're too busy mocking Ryan's his beer spilling ability.
On me. Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Hey, at least it wasn't on the equipment.
That's true.
That was on Edgar Allan.
No!
Edgar Allan, whoa.
Whoa, you've been cut off. Quote the bartender, nevermore.
I fucked up Josh's leg. I'm sorry.
Well, I get my privileges back then. I'm going to say, I don't think I heard of Edgar Allan Poe until I was probably in high school. And I'm going to be honest, outside of like The Raven, and I heard The Raven actually for the first time on The Simpsons.
As one does, yes.
That was like 93, 94.
Historical documentary, The Simpsons.
Huh?
How old were you then? Because it would have been 94.
I would have been 9.
Okay.
And if I'm being honest, so bad. Without having a list of any of his popular works in front of me, I can't think of anything else besides The Raven.
No. Not Telltale Heart? You didn't? No, not that? No? Okay, well.
We'll discuss.
Yes. I'm a big fan. I think he was definitely, especially his later stuff, he's very like the My Chemical Romance of like the
1830s.
Yeah. Like he was emo before it was cool.
He's my Robert Smith.
He was.
Robert Smith wishes he was Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, for real.
I get it.
A lot of that stuff, like especially when I was in like high school, loved reading it because it was so deep and dark, right? Like it really sang to my my emo phase for sure.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
What was your big? Did you have a big Poe poem or story that you really liked?
Telltale Heart is probably. Yeah, I would say that was one of my favorites because it's got such a good horror twist to it. It really spoke to my love of horror films.
Might have to read one or two of those.
Oh, I would love to.
I would say that also it's probably one of the first like psychological horrors.
Mm, definitely.
Because it really gets into the character because it's from the perspective of the guy that actually committed the murder.
Mm-hmm. Riley's over here licking the floor.
I want to be like Unky Ryan. So that's awesome.
Riley's Edgar Allan Moore. Please.
So Josh says Simpsons. April says Telltale Heart. What do you say?
It was high school when they made you read them.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think? Me?
That's when he wrote Sifting.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, this is no Sifting. It was like Edgar Allan go.
More like Edgar Allan no.
Quoth the Raven, Sifting.
Quoth the Raven, fuck him off.
So I became enamored with Edgar Allan Poe in sixth or seventh grade. We watched The Telltale Heart. We watched there was a short film after we read. We had to all read it.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it and I was just like, wow, this is really fucking like, even as a sixth, seventh grader, I was like, damn, this is fucking dark for a middle school kid. And then we watched this black and white movie on a projector screen. And at the very end, the guy's holding up like a bloody heart, like in the movie we watched. And I was just like, holy shit. But it was such a big influence on me in horror. It became immediately, I mean, before Stephen King, before Neil Gaiman, before all the Wes Craven,
Hitchcock,
Clive Barker, Hitchcock. It was the most immediate horror reference I had. And as a huge fan, I mean, Halloween's great, but also this month of October is kind of a time for me to just basically become enamored with like great horror classics that I love.
Because you don't do that the rest of the year.
I definitely do. It became one of those things where it just surprised me at an early age because I was like, because every single one of Edgar Allan Poe's stories is either from the narrative perspective or it's in the process of doing something horrendous like the Cask of Amontillado. There's this feeling of emergence and immediacy. Like you feel like you're literally in that character's thought process. As like something horrible is about to happen.
It's very immersive.
And I would say that I got spoiled
truthfully, I did, because once they showed me Edgar Allan Poe, it was like, okay, well, now I'm going to, you know, delve into Lovecraft, H.P. Lovecraft, ooh, or Stephen King, mm-hmm, or Clive Barker. But no one ever nailed the feeling of dread like Poe did.
For sure.
Like, even when we come down to it later on, when we...
Barker.
Oh, I get it.
They're talking about Kojak again.
Kojak.
So what drives me nuts is that he was the only author who penned a story where it felt so immediate and the fear felt so real, where everything else felt stupid. Like it felt like a dumbed down version, mm-hmm, basically. At Stephen King, who was supposedly the greatest horror author of all time, I don't think so. I definitely don't think so. I think Poe is like 10 times better than him. His name,
King.
Well, yeah, but I do love King for story setting. But as soon as those characters start speaking, I just see shit shooting out of their mouth. It doesn't make... Unless it's kids. Unless it's Stand By...
That is terrifying.
Unless it's Stand By Me, ooh, like, which he nails, I just don't think he knows how adults talk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. It's just, like, I read all the Dark Tower series, it's just never did. But
in all fairness, he was coked up and drunk.
True. When he wrote Kojak, his greatest alpha male dog story. No,
let's solve this crime.
I think Poe was the first person I thought of as a rock star. Like as somebody who was just amazing at writing. And you want to know the truth? I don't like The Raven. I don't. I think it's okay. I understand the rhythmic poetry to it, but it doesn't even touch The Black Cat or The Cask of Amontillado.
You guys like his mainstream. I like his work.
I know. I'm this total goth guy when it comes to Poe. But women love Poe, and that's great, because he was a woman's man, and we'll talk about that even more.
He's all about the...
Which he didn't
Edgar
do.
Allan Hoes.
That's right.
Allan Ho.
I actually think that if I could go back in time, I would love to sit down and talk to this guy. But it's not...
I don't know, but I'm guessing he likes absinthe for some reason.
According to the Perfect Drug music video, I think that was the Perfect Drug music video.
Yes.
Yeah. Where Trent Reznor envisioned himself as Edgar Allan Poe. And had
an great absinthe song.
Great. Cool. Fucking great song.
Cool synth.
Oh yeah. That drum part.
I would imagine you and Trent Reznor would have a fun time just on like a great like little afternoon hangout.
Oh yeah, it'd be fun.
playing with synths.
Yeah, I posted a video once of all the synths he has.
I can only imagine.
I think you saw it.
You know what? I did. Yeah. Well, actually, because I remember we talked about it.
A lot of Moogs.
Weird side question, but what do you think of Nine Inch Nails overall?
I like him. I'm a big fan.
It's kind of like, it starts Pretty Hate Machine is like drum. Is it drum and bass or what?
It's definitely breakbeat-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Industrial.
Industrial and breakbeat, yeah.
And then
easy.
And then once you go to Broken, that's when you started getting a little bit more of the heavy stuff, but it's still very synth heavy.
And then Downward Spiral.
Yeah, about Downward Spiral, where I think he's got more into sampling.
Oh, I love that record.
That's really like, there's like him sampling, like blowing bubbles through a straw and starts a song with that. It's like, whoa.
Well, yeah. You want to talk about a guy who was heavy on drugs at that time?
Oh, he got sober and he made some of the greatest soundtracks of all time.
Yeah, Social Network. His soundtrack work is amazing too.
Can I just, because we had brought up Nine Inch Nails, this is just a quick like side anecdote of like what it's like to be married to Josh, just in one like sum up of an event.
Can you really do it in one?
I can, because listen to this. When we were getting ready for our wedding, we had sent out invitations that had, because we didn't have a DJ, and we had like put in your song request on your RSVP. So we made a whole playlist and threw it on a flash drive and gave it to the lady who was working the thing. And for whatever the fuck reason, Josh was like insisting that he was going to put Closer by Nine Inch Nails on this flash drive. And I said, I will fucking kill you if you play Nine Inch Nails at our wedding reception.
There weren't any kids at the reception.
Oh, yeah, tons, including our own. So it's great, right? So we're at the reception and it was towards the end. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to some friends of mine and all of a sudden I heard that, like, the drum beat.
Slow four on the floor. Right.
Yeah. For Closer. And I turned, I was ready to fucking kick his ass. And he had cut it with Taylor Swift's Shake It Off.
So it was perfect.
So it started with the drum beat and then went right into Shake It Off.
Ah.
But just the ultimate troll of, like, I'm not going to play Closer, but you're going to think I am. He was so proud of himself.
I remember that. Because I was even like, dear, look.
I'm so irritated.
It worked perfectly, too.
And that's how our marriage began. It was wonderful.
Swiftly.
Hey. Mm. Yeah.
And now we are Closer. So Nine Inch Nails is a great band. But anyway, Edgar Allan Poe.
I had a good one, damn it.
Amazing, amazing human being.
Yes.
Lived 40 years on this planet.
Really? Gave that's,
a,
it?
Mm-hmm.
That's it? It doesn't sound like very long to me.
You've outlasted him.
I have.
There you go.
Despite everything I've thrown at my body, somehow still alive.
See, when you say something like that, I just imagine you throwing pies at you.
The thing is, somebody I work with just had a stroke.
Mm.
At what age?
He's 49. He's a marathon runner. Oof.
Oh, yeah. It happens, dude. I was running a 5K the other day, and somebody told me that, like, yeah, this 21-year-old died from a 5K.
Jeez. I had to have surgery yesterday.
Yeah.
God.
I told Erin that. I'm like, I work 49 and just had a stroke. She's like, you should have salads tonight. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Hold the dressing.
Yeah, right?
Mm-mm-mm.
It's, you know.
I hope you recover, Dave. Sounds like he is. So.
It's the cards you're dealt.
I'm sure he's listening.
Hey, Dave. Love you, man.
Mm. Yep.
Mm.
Got done with his prostitution shift, went home and
beep.
Wow.
Well, you know.
And
I'm sorry, man.
No, that slows down sucks. The show. Edgar Allan slow.
It sucks. Oh, hey, April, can you please Edgar Allan go?
I would love to Edgar Allan go.
Who's on the vote? Is Edgar Allan Rowe.
Jesus Christ.
All this rhyming, we have a good Edgar Allan flow.
That's funny because you just mentioned Jesus Christ and we talked about Nine Inch Nails.
Oh my God, what is happening?
Nine Inch Nails.
Hey, so Edgar Allan Poe. He was born January 19, 1809 in Boston, Massachusetts as Edgar Poe. This was actually something I didn't...
Edgar!
This is something I did not know about him. He was Edgar Poe. The Allen came much later.
Okay. True.
Well, not much later, but later.
He does have that serial killer prename thing going on.
True. He was the...
Are your dogs, like, switching each other's dentures back and forth?
Yes.
He's probably drunk from all the beer he licked off the floor. True. My bad.
So, Edgar Poe was the second child of actors David and Eliza Poe. He had an older brother named William Henry Leonard and a younger sister named Rosalie. Their grandfather emigrated from Ireland around 1750. Now, Edgar was actually... Yes, thank you. Edgar was named after a character in Shakespeare's King Lear, which his mother and father were actually performing the year he was born. That's where they got the information.
Okay, his parents were actors.
Yes.
Let me tell you this right now.
Hmm.
Well,
that is a fact I did not see in all of the 7 documentaries I listened to. And thank you.
Well,
that's why she's the Luma Mommy.
I'm here to bring the facts. Now, his dad abandoned his family in 1810 when he was just a year old.
There it is. Yep.
And his mom died the following year from consumption, aka tuberculosis. So at this point, he was taken in by John and Francis Allen of Richmond, Virginia. John was a successful merchant who dealt with cloth, wheat, tombstones, tobacco, and slaves. No, they never formally adopted him, but he did take their last name, making him Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, okay.
I always figured Allen was like a middle name.
Yeah.
I was very interested to find out that it was actually his second, like, adoptive last name. Now, the Allen family had him baptized into the Episcopal Church in 1812. His adoptive dad, John, was kind of a dick. They were very well off. What?
A huge dick.
Yes. They were very well off because he was so successful. So
I think he was actually, John Allen was involved in the tobacco industry.
Yes. I mentioned that earlier.
Just mentioned it.
Sorry.
That's okay. So yeah, he was actually Edgar
Allen Slow.
He said he was born in Massachusetts. They have a lot of Edgar Allen Snow there.
Oh my God.
So, go to bed.
Edgar Allan Poe was both spoiled and aggressively disciplined by John. John was an asshole. The family sailed to the UK in 1815, where Poe attended grammar school for a short period in Scotland before rejoining the family in London. He studied at a boarding school in Chelsea until the summer of 1817. At this point, they saw how great he was, what an excellent wordsmith he was, and he was entered at the Reverend John Bransby's Manor House School at Stoke Newington.
1 point Gryffindor.
Just north of London.
2 point Hufflepuff.
Yes.
And the mom was always very into whatever Edgar was doing.
Like, yeah, they supported his education. Like, yeah. He kind of pissed it away. But we'll get into that. They moved back to Virginia in 1820. And in 1824, he served as the Lieutenant of Richmond Youth Honor Guard as the city celebrated the visit of the Marquis de Lafayette. And then
sounds
very French.
German.
Yes. In March of 1825, John Allen's uncle and business benefactor.
I serve in a pre-Civil War.
You are Edgar Allan Poe. I'm a big fan of Edgar Allan Poe.
I have not read his poems, but I think they are shit.
I love Poe. This
baguette, it tastes like...
I love Poe.
I do love Poe.
I love Poe.
The
Brownness.
Oh, delicious Brownness.
Brownness. It's Poe.
Yeah.
But no, this is definitely before... any sort of big altercations. We're talking like a very kind of low key period, but there was tuberculosis everywhere. Like we said, his mom died from tuberculosis. Mm-hmm. He saw this happen.
Yep.
And then slowly he's going to watch this happen again here very soon.
Yep. Now, John Allen's uncle and business benefactor, William Galt died, leaving several acres of real estate estimated to be approximately $750,000. And that's in the 1800s. That's $17 million in 2019. So they were like fucking loaded. Now, by the following summer, John Allen had purchased a 2-story brick house called Moldavia.
Which is where he took his hookers to.
Right.
Because he was banging chicks left and right while his wife was dying.
Yeah, he was a shit stain.
Yeah.
So.
And that's why Edgar Allan Poe never trusted men.
Mm-hmm. He
watched all the. Okay, so one of the most famous statements from Edgar Allan Poe is where he says one of the most. And I'm breaking this down a bit. Mm-hmm. But he basically said, one of the worst things you can ever see happen is a beautiful woman dying. And it happened through his whole life. He was not even three. He was two when his mom died. Then Francis dies. Then the love of his life. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but we'll get to it. But like everybody dies from tuberculosis.
Yep.
Isn't that spoiling it? What's that?
It's fine. We'll get there. Okay. So now during this time, after they came into all that money from the uncle, it is alleged that Poe was engaged to Sarah Elmira Royster. This was before he registered at the University of Virginia in February of 1826 to study ancient and modern languages.
And he was a good looking guy, by the way.
He was.
I'm just going to say this. He swam upstream, like whatever the river was in Baltimore, like 6 miles. Like he had a ripped physique as a young boy.
Yeah.
But he just had like a, like he was into like the emotional side. So he would write little poems.
No, at this point, the University of Virginia was like brand new. This was the brainchild of Thomas Jefferson. It had strict rules against gambling, horses, guns, tobacco, and alcohol, but the rules were mostly ignored by students because Jefferson had actually enacted a system of student self-government, which if anyone knows kids at fucking all...
Lord of the Flies.
Pretty much. So, they allowed the students to choose their own studies, make their own arrangements for boarding, and report all wrongdoing to the faculty. Of course, no one fucking reported anything. The system was like chaotic at best, and the dropout rate was like astronomical.
Oh.
Right. So while he was at school, he lost touch with his maybe fiance Royster. And then also he was fighting all the time with John Allen over debt because he had a huge gambling problem. Well, gambling was, and drinking.
Well, John Allen was only giving him a third of the cost.
Right.
He was giving him a third of the cost for what his semester was going to cost. And so the only thing he could think to do was actually gamble that to try to make his money back.
Right.
And also, John didn't like Edgar. He never did.
Yep.
Francis's wife.
They fought constantly.
Francis's wife was enamored with Edgar. She thought he was great, was super. I think that a lot of why he even gave him money was because of his wife.
Right.
And guilt. Because he was cheating on her all the time.
Now, John Allen did send more money, but it still wasn't enough. So he had to give up school after a year, but didn't feel welcome back in Richmond. Especially after his fiance had married another guy.
Right.
Like he came home and was like, oh, guess she's married to someone else now. Alexander Shelton.
So get this shit. Shelton. He had to burn furniture to make himself warm. Like, because he had a rich baron-esque fucking tobacco daddy who adopted him. But the only way he could make himself like warm at night was to burn furniture.
Yep.
I go with blankets, but hey, whatever.
I mean, it is like East Coast.
That's an East Coast, burning your furniture is an East Coast thing.
I mean, like in the winter, it gets pretty fucking cold. Like blankets aren't going to save you from snow. But okay, so he traveled to Boston in April of 1827, taking odd jobs as a clerk and a newspaper writer. And this is when he started using the pseudonym Henri Lerenet during this period. If you could come up with a pseudonym, like if you were to like ghostwrite something, what would your pseudonym be?
Henry Hamburger.
Henry Hamburger. Okay.
I'm sticking with Dr. Ficklefingers.
Fair enough. What about you, dear?
Mike Cox.
Mine would be like Bad and Bougie Bitch. I don't know.
Bougie Bitch.
Yes. I'd be very successful. So, he was broke. Fucking broke as a joke. He joined the army in 1827 under an assumed name. He registered as Edgar A. Perry. He claimed that he was 22 years old, even though he was only 18.
He did great in the service, by the way.
He first served at Fort Independence in Boston Harbor. He made a whopping $5 a month. It was at this time that his publishing career began with the anonymous collection Tamerlane and Other Poems, a 40-page collection of poetry credited to a Bostonian. It was completely anonymous. No one knew it was him. Now, only 50 copies were printed, and the book received, like, no attention. like welcome.
So all of my music.
I would wonder if somebody had one of those books now, how much it would be worth.
Jeez, I can't even imagine.
Oh, priceless. My God.
At least $8.
Yeah.
No, I would say priceless, like April said. Mm-hmm. I mean,
everything's got a price.
Yeah.
And I figure
millions. I would be sure to get the millions.
I would put it at like
what's it called?
Oh,
it's called Tamerlane and Other Poems. Tamer.
I mean, like the earliest publishing of Poe, and Poe was so dedicated. I mean, it's different because I was listening to Bruce Springsteen just put out a new album. It's like Letters to You or something. Mm-hmm. It's about his youth. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to the NPR interview and I was like,
what makes you want to write music?
The first edition of 271.
Why would you want to do music right now? But sorry, Josh, do you want to?
A first edition of Tamerlane and Other Poems, a book that Poe claimed he wrote just before he turned 14, sold at a Christie's auction in 2009. For $662,500.
Wow. Sounds about right.
It's better than... See, I worried that it was going to be way too low, mm-hmm. but it should be like in the millions.
It probably is now because, like April said, only 50 copies were ever printed, and scholars believe that there are only 12 currently in existence.
Wow.
It should be...
And this is 2009.
This is... To me, it belongs in a museum.
Oh, like, for sure.
I'm going Indiana Jones on this guy, because I think he is... I can't think of any. I mean, this is goth at its like core atrium. I'm sorry, like we're going straight for the heart for goth,
right? Oh, okay.
Wow, that's crazy. I was just decided to look up most expensive baseball card, and that was $3 million.
Jeez,
wasn't that a rookie player from like recently?
No, it's actually Honus Wagner. He was a baseball player, obviously. And the cards were included in tobacco, and he was against smoking, so they had to discontinue his card.
Nice. Oh, okay. I thought I heard recently a card sold that it was a rookie card of a guy who's still playing, and it was sold for like millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So it was like very recent.
Like obscurities when it comes to baseball.
Yeah, baseball cards is really weird. We did an episode on the EFIS, which you can find on
patreon.com/beercitymediapodcast.
Yep.
You get it all
for $5 a month.
Nice.
It's a steal.
Hey, you know who else made $5 a month in the Army? Edgar Allan Poe. Let's keep talking about him. I have a lot here.
I'm sorry, April.
No, it's fine. His regiment was posted to Fort Moultrie in Charleston, South Carolina, and he traveled by ship on the Waltham on November 1827. He was promoted to artificer, an enlisted tradesman who prepared shells for artillery, and had his monthly pay doubled. He served for 2 years and attained the rank of sergeant major for artillery, then decided he wanted to end his 5-year enlistment early. So here's another big like butting heads moment between him and John Allen. He revealed his real name and circumstances to his commanding officer, who would only allow Poe to be discharged if he reconciled with Allen because they had fought over all that money.
Wait a minute. You ain't... Your name ain't Edgar Allen, just like regular. Like you ain't like a regular person. Or you were adopted.
I wonder if it would be the name or the age that would be the biggest issue with the military.
I would imagine the name.
Name, yeah.
Because he was 18.
He was 18 either way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you don't want to lie to the government.
So he got a hold of John Allen, so
maybe both.
Right.
Yeah.
Who was super unsympathetic. He was like, fuck you. And he just ignored Poe for a couple of months. They finally made temporary amends after the death of Francis Allen in 1829. So he came back for Francis's funeral and talked to John again. And John finally, I think probably because he was sad because his wife died.
No, he wasn't sad.
So he finally agreed to support Poe's attempt to be discharged in order to receive an appointment to the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. So he was finally discharged April 15, 1829, after finding a replacement to finish his enlisted term for him. Now, before entering West Point, he moved back to Baltimore to stay with his widowed Aunt Maria Clem.
Ooh.
you have a very beautiful daughter, Auntie.
Oh, step aunt.
It's my beautiful cousin.
And a bunch of Pornhub videos were created.
Yep. So, in September of that year, Poe received, quote, the very first words of encouragement I ever remember to have heard. In a review of his poetry by critic John Neal, this was like a huge turning point for him because this is the first time he ever got any kind of really any kind of feedback at all, positive or any
press.
Exactly. This prompted Poe to dedicate one of his poems to Neal in his second book, Al Araf, Tamerlane and Minor Poems, which was published in 1829. Now, he started at West Point on July 1st in 1830. In October of the same year, John Allen married his second wife, Louisa Patterson. The marriage sucked. They fought all the time. Poe and John Allen continued to fight over all the kids that John had through all of his extramarital affairs. And John finally disowned Poe, like, officially. He was cut off. They were done.
My bad.
So Poe decided to leave West Point by purposely getting court-martialed. On February 8, 1831, he was tried for gross neglect of duty and disobedience of orders for refusing to attend formations, classes, or church. That was kind of how I got kicked out of Cornerstone. He pled not guilty to guarantee a dismissal, knowing that he'd be found guilty. So he was like, I just want out. Yeah. Can I just be done? And they kicked him out. So at this point, he left for New York in February of 1831 and released a third book of poems. Now, what's interesting about this is this book was actually financed by fellow cadets at West Point.
Kickstarter.
It was 1831 Kickstarter. They all donated 75 cents to the cause, and he raised over $170.
Wow.
Now, what's funny about this is they all were thinking that he was going to write a book of poems, like what he wrote about his commanding officers, which were like satirical and funny. They thought that's what they were donating to. Psych. It was super emo. The book that he had printed actually had reprinted works from his previous books, but also included early versions of To Helen, Israfel, and The City in the Sea. Now, at this point, he returned to Baltimore to his aunt, brother, and cousin in March of 1831. Yep. His brother Henry was in poor health, mostly due to issues with alcoholism, and his brother died August 1st, 1831. So after his brother's death, he began more attempts to start his career as a writer, but he chose like the worst fucking time. Mm-hmm. That's what kills me about Poe is like he's right place, wrong time in almost every situation that he's put in.
Every.
Yes.
If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have done it all.
Exactly. So
it's like literally, it's like you walk up and it's like, hey, here's the love of your life. She walks out and she goes, I love you. She gives you the greatest blowjob of your life. Literally, as you come in her mouth, she pulls back, spits it on the ground and says, I have brain cancer. And you're like, Jesus.
That's not a jolly Pornhub video.
Christ. Yep. No, it's every single time.
Brain cancer. next week.
But it's true. Like, in this guy's story, every single great thing that happens, it's literally
below.
It is legitimately not surprising that he wrote such dark shit because it was literally like it's like a rain cloud followed him around. He was fucking Eeyore of the 1830s.
Exactly. Or
Snuffleupagus.
Every time he proposed to somebody, it's at a graveyard.
Yep.
Or when he's sobbing, he's at a fucking graveyard.
You know, like he cried after sex. You know he was one of those dudes that cries after sex every time and then has to go take a shower. So, he was one of the first Americans ever to make a living by writing alone. Yep. Now, one of the biggest issues he faced was the copyright law. American publishers often produced unauthorized copies of British works rather than paying for new work by Americans. They were like outsourcing books, which is so fucked. The industry was also particularly hurt by the Panic of 1837. There was a booming growth in periodicals at this time, thanks to technology, but many didn't last more than a few issues. Everyone and their fucking brother had a newspaper, but they never lasted. So publishers often refused to pay their writers or paid them much later than they promised. So Poe had to resort to like pleas for money and assistance. So after his early attempts at poetry, he turned his attention to prose, thanks to the positive review from John Neal. Like, that really got him through this whole period of time. It was like, well, at least somebody likes me. He wrote a few stories for Philadelphia publication and began work on his only drama, Politian.
Philadelphia Fever.
The Baltimore Saturday Visitor awarded him a prize in October of 1833 for his short story "M.S. Found in a Bottle."
There's also a critic, by the way.
Found in a bottle.
Multiple sclerosis found dark. In a bottle.
He was the original Roger Ebert.
Yep.
He would rip apart.
Oh yeah.
"M.S. in a bottle."
The story brought him to the attention of John P. Kennedy, a Baltimorean of considerable means, who further assisted Poe with placing some of his stories.
I'm a Kennedy. I have tremendous means.
Right. And he introduced Poe to Thomas W. White, editor of the Southern Literary Messenger in Richmond. So at this point, Poe becomes the assistant editor of
all the newspapers were like so fucking literal.
Names. For sure.
The printed press. We write words. News daily.
The paper with words on it weekly. So.
The motorcycle just tore by.
Yep. He became assistant editor of the Southern Literary Messenger in August of 1835, but he got fired after like 2 weeks because he was drunk on the job.
Yeah, he showed up way late and way drunk.
Whoops.
Sounds familiar.
He returned to Baltimore where he got a license to marry his cousin, Virginia Clam, on September 22.
Woo-hoo! Got my license to marry my cousin.
Yeehaw.
My cousin fucking license.
That's right.
It's open season.
So he got the license in September 22 of 1835. They don't know if they were actually married at that time or if they got married at a later date.
Now,
they got the license.
Stop. Hold on.
Yes.
Whoa.
She was 12.
Yes.
Everybody says
he was 26.
Everything I've seen, but I did the deep dive research on this. Everybody says she's 13. She was for sure 12.
Yes.
He was 26, like she said.
Jitties. Good Lord. 12?
12.
How do you marry
such? Are you doing?
Exactly, Christian Bale. But what's even worse is that this was a buildup. Because this all happened after the aunt of his mom, so his mom's sister, was like, we're leaving town.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent a letter where he was like, I'm crying. I'm going to kill myself. He threatened to kill himself if the aunt and the daughter moved. So when he initially moved in with these people, after he couldn't find any other sort of housing, she was 8.
Jesus.
8. 8. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
And he would have been
even
22, 23.
Yeah.
So
he had a thing.
Oh, Lord. Yep. So he was reinstated to the Southern Literary Messenger after promising good behavior, and he went back to Richmond with Virginia and her mother. He remained at the Messenger until January of 1837. But during this period, he claimed that its circulation actually increased from 700 to 3,500.
Wow.
So he was doing some good things.
Right.
He published several poems, book reviews, critiques, and stories in the paper.
And recipes.
Right. On May 16, 1836, he and Virginia held a Presbyterian wedding ceremony at their Richmond boarding house with a witness falsely attesting Clem's age as 21.
What did they do at that wedding? Color?
puzzles. Can I get the kids menu, please?
Memory.
Jesus Christ.
Wanna play Minecraft?
Now Poe's novel, Narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym of Nantucket. Body training. Yep. Oh, Jesus.
Before they could, finalize the marriage with a kiss, she had to take her retainer out.
Yeah.
Sounds like a familiar backstory of mine.
All right, we're at the Edgar Allan Poe wedding. We got old Mac.
Today's reception dinner will be macaroni, cheese, and chicken tenders for the lady. For and you, a juice box.
You vegetarians out there, we have peanut butter jelly sandwiches.
And if you gotta use the porta potty, well, we're a little plugged up, so never more.
Oh my god.
Blippi will be the entertainment tonight.
In the summer of 1839, he became the assistant editor of Burton's Gentleman's Magazine. Yes. He published numerous articles, stories, and reviews, enhancing his reputation as a top-tier critic, which he had established at the Messenger. He was a fucking...
He was Roger Ebert.
He really was. He was rough.
He would rip apart people that he tried to get involved in magazines, because magazines became the... kind of the big thing at the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lordy. Okay, so also in 1839, the collection Tales of the Grotesque and Arabesque was published in 2 volumes, though he made little money from it and received mixed reviews. He left Burton's after about a year and found a position as assistant at Graham's Magazine. On June 1840, he published a prospectus announcing his intentions to start his own journal called The Stylus. It was like the rad thing to do. Everyone had some sort of magazine or newspaper.
It's just like every fuck has a podcast.
It was
actually
the TikTok of 1840.
Interestingly enough, he was really popular with the French.
Whoa, wow. Easy does it.
The microphone just committed suicide.
This Poe episode.
Shit again.
Right?
He drove that microphone into the floor like Ted Kennedy drove his girlfriend into the river.
Oh, God.
Future subject.
Right? Oh, he bought advertising space for his project in the June 6, 1840 issue of Philadelphia's Saturday Evening Post.
It's Saturday Evening Post! Featuring Edgar Allan Poe! Adam Sandler!
Zoink!
And your musical guest.
Was that your Sandler impression, Zoink?
Oh my god.
That's all my eccentric people.
What would you do? That was pretty spot on. Better. Spot on.
That was just my Ryan impression.
So the ad that he posted read, quote, "Prospectus of the Penn Magazine, a monthly literary journal to be edited and published in the city of Philadelphia by Edgar A. Poe." The journal was never produced because he died.
True.
So around this time, he attempted to secure a position within the administration of President John Tyler, claiming that he was a member of the Whig Party. He had hoped to be appointed to the United States Custom House in Philadelphia with help from President Tyler's son, Robert, who was an acquaintance of Poe's friend, Frederick Thomas. He failed to show up for a meeting with Thomas to discuss the appointment in mid-September of 1842. He said he was sick. He was definitely drunk. So Poe was promised an appointment, but whoops, all positions were filled by others. That's what happens when you don't show up because you're too drunk. One evening in January of 1842, Virginia showed the first signs of tuberculosis while singing and playing the piano, which Poe described as breaking a blood vessel in her throat. Yeah, that's what that is. Yep, pretty much.
I will say, I listened to a documentary about this, and it was really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because he lost his stepmom, his real mom, and then the love of his life.
Granted, the age of 14, she was so young.
You shut your mouth.
But I'm just training bra. I'm out of here.
Had a big future ahead of her. Literally her whole life.
Yep.
Titties.
I'm just saying. I felt bad. This is probably the third or fourth time where I felt really bad for
Edgar Allan Poe. Their child wife.
Just before
you're always supposed to die before them, right? Yeah, that's how that's supposed to work. Mean,
yeah, he didn't even get to experience puberty.
I'm just saying.
So she only partially recovered, and Poe began to drink more heavily under the stress of her illness. He left Graham's and attempted to find a new position for a time, angling for a government post. He returned to New York, where
there's
he worked
more whiskey, though.
Right.
Like, I have a whiskey button.
It just goes whiskey, 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 whiskey.
Whiskey.
Yes. Okay, so he returned to New York, where he worked briefly at the Evening Mirror before becoming the editor of the Broadway Journal and later its owner. There, Poe alienated himself from other writers by publicly accusing Henry Wadsworth Longfellow of plagiarism. Like, what a fucking dick move.
What a dick Wadsworth.
Yes, though Longfellow never responded. On January 29 of 1845, his poem The Raven appeared in the Evening Mirror and became a popular sensation. It made Poe a household name almost instantly, though he was only paid $9 for his publication.
14 overall, but he also, we might not have talked about this, but I think it's important. Poe, even though he was a drunk and
a pedophile.
Yep. Don't make that great guy.
And don't mince words. I mean
that's
it's true. I was the one that sussed that out. Mm-hmm. Everything says 13 or 14, and I saw 12. So I'm admitting that it was 12, but I'm going to say this right now. He was a lover of fans of his fiction. He had kids that would run up on him and go, and quote The Raven.
Mm-hmm. Nevermore.
And he would, no. I love you, man. But they would reenact scenes from The Raven, and he would yell back nevermore and chase him off. Mm-hmm. So he had a fan base.
Yeah.
He didn't make a lot of money off of it. It was kind of similar, like we talked about it on the Patreon episode about Mr. Rogers, but it was like he had fans, mm-hmm. even in his time. And The Raven was a big hit.
Yeah.
And even later, I mean, own things groupies. Took off. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, they were Girl Scouts, but still.
The fans that ran up.
Marry me next.
But.
Marry me.
Truth be told, he was a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
He was a fan of writing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, especially good writing. Like, he wasn't somebody to just, like, mm-hmm. tailor himself to somebody who wrote something shitty. Like, even mm-hmm. the famous writers of the time, he would just rip them apart. He was like a Roger Ebert when it came to mm-hmm. that. But he was a good friend who was a fan. He was loving, and he was charismatic, and he dressed well. He was not the dreary, I'm always drunk, mm-hmm. I'm always goth guy. He was actually a really nice dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody talks about this, and that's what I really wanted to say tonight mm-hmm. before we ended this episode. He was actually a really nice guy.
Yeah.
The problem I have with him reviewing in that way is, like, you can be critical of other people's works.
Mm-hmm.
But and then there's gets to a point where you're just a dick.
Right.
And I've worked with people that they will take a piece of work that someone else did, a review, and literally mince it up and then just rewrite it because they just didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, my work's the best work, so that's the only one I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it hard. As an editor, I have to look at many people's reviews and have to go, okay, well, how is this good? Is this something that is, you know, legible? And I've had to change stuff. But the thing is that you got to be careful about critiquing people in a bad way like that, because they can come back to bite you in the ass.
Of course.
In this case, like, if he's taking the best writers in the world saying, they're all shit.
No, he didn't say they're all shit. I'm saying he gave real reviews. It would be like Larry. I mean, I don't want to throw Larry on the bus, but I'm saying Larry's generally the most honest of the four of us when it comes to like what's good, what's bad. Edgar Allan Poe was always very harsh about what he thought was bad. And I thought that was a great characteristic about him. But also, one of the things that I wanted to reiterate was that he was a good friend. He was a good guy. Mm-hmm. He was funny. Even though he was married to his...
Oh, wrong song for a 12-year-old.
Right.
Rainy days. I'm sorry. That's the Edgar Allan Poe. Right. It's like, rainy days.
How's your chalk drawing going? Good there, Virginia. But yeah, it was rough. I mean, that sucks. For the time being, it was kind of acceptable, but they also did have to throw on that when they got married. They signed her as 21.
I mean, when your wedding gifts are Tinker Toys and Lincoln Logs, My Little Pony.
Polly what Pockets. Am I going to do with all this Play-Doh?
Brats.
Gel bracelets.
Yep.
All right, April.
Oh, my God. I'm almost done. Let's just power through this last. I have two more paragraphs. Oh, okay. So we were talking about The Raven. The Raven was also published in the American Review, a Whig journal, under the pseudonym Quarles. So instead of saying it was written by Edgar Allan Poe, it was Quarles. The Broadway Journal ran its last copy in 1846, and Poe moved to a cottage in Fordham, New York, in what is now the Bronx. That home is now known as the Edgar Allan Poe Cottage. It was relocated to a park near the southeast corner of the Grand Concourse and Kingsbridge Road. Nearby, Poe befriended the Jesuits at St. John's College, which is now Fordham University. Virginia died at the cottage on January 30, 1847.
They held a funeral for her.
They played it in a minor key, so it was extra sad.
Great, now I gotta play that in a minor key.
So, biographers and critics often suggest that Poe's frequent theme of the death of beautiful women stems from the repeated loss of women throughout his life, including his wife, which we talked about earlier.
Which was a big issue.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. Okay, April.
Yes.
Me and you, one-on-one here.
Okay.
So, people huge issue about him talking about how the worst loss you can have is from beautiful women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people think that's sexist. I personally, and a lot of the women that I've seen in documentaries will talk about this, I think beautiful is subjective. When somebody talks about somebody who's beautiful, it doesn't necessarily, to me, mean their
physical appearance.
Right. So, you know,
I completely agree with that, especially knowing the way that Poe wrote and the way that he spoke.
Exactly.
It was more a comment on their personality and like, you're a beautiful human being.
Exactly.
You couldn't be part of that, Larry.
And how much...
Sorry, I left my nipple tassels upstairs.
And how much cooch do you show? Okay. You better be dragging that clam on the ground because I don't like anything better.
Leaving a snail.
I like that.
Leaving a snail trail.
That's some road rash right there.
Look, ooh. April's always going to back me up.
Some, you end up with a clit grit.
No.
Oh, that's the worst. That's one that shuts down the show.
No, because I'm like, it's the same.
Got a platinum for distasteful jokes.
That's okay. Everything on this show is distasteful, apparently.
True.
So, Poe was increasingly unstable after his wife's death. He attempted to court poet Sarah Helen Whitman, who lived in Providence, Rhode Island.
She was 16. It was an upgrade.
Just getting a little long in the tooth.
Right. Now, their engagement failed.
I mean, her first teeth.
Her baby teeth.
She's getting a little long in the baby teeth.
Jesus.
Not permanent teeth.
Right. Now, their engagement failed purportedly because of Poe's drinking and erratic behavior.
And however, the fact that she wasn't old enough to drive yet.
Right. There's also strong evidence. It's really hard when they're in diapers.
I mean, when they don't pick up their toys, it's yeah. a little maddening.
It's time for us to make love. Now put your Lincoln Logs away.
Is there grass on the field? Because I want to play it.
Oh my God. Mm. Yes.
Gross.
I mean, when you get to take out the pacifier to make out with them, it's, yeah, a little,
it's a little weird.
A little daunting.
So,
welcome to the dating show 1832.
The shocker for Edgar Allan Poe was two in the pink, one in the one for the bank.
Two in the pink, one for the bank. Are you shitting me?
I thought, how is he gonna formulate this without it sounding terrible?
I mean, MTV had released a show called Six and Pregnant.
Back then, MTV was just like a big bonfire and a bunch of like lumberjacks who haven't found a bride to be.
Excuse me, do you carry
That's
maternity?
They weren't born yet.
Do you guys right. carry maternity pants in size 4T? Mm-hmm.
Oh. For a wedding topper, I'd like a G.I. Joe and a Barbie.
Oh my God.
I met the most beautiful woman actually at my friend John Adams' reception.
Take care.
Take care.
She's still in the maternity ward.
She was in a
pregnant? No, she's the baby.
She was in the corner eating a Go-Gurt, and I thought to myself, wow, would it?
What? I tell you what, I took her out to a nice romantic meal. It was a happy meal.
She was getting awfully frisky picking her toy.
She got real frisky. She said, I want to go in the ball pit. And I said, hey, excuse me.
She was picking her nose. She was. I was wondering what she could do with them fingers.
This is getting real crazy now. I know we had a milkshake.
Two of us are going to jail, I think.
I'm just saying.
Maybe three of us. I don't know.
Edgar Allan Poe, love stories.
I proposed at a Chuck E. Cheese over one of them cold pizzas.
Edgar Allan Pet.
Okay, so
just saying, Build-A-Bear is not a place to pick up women.
I met her when she was
Edgar Allan Poe,
right?
I met her when she was eight. I understand. Some people may not understand, but I understand a lot about 8 year olds. You see, they're more sophisticated. They have an idea of calligraphy that I don't understand. I'm Edgar Allan Poe, the greatest poet of all time.
I'll tell you what, the way she spells cat. On her kindergarten.
She did it with macaroni test. Pieces.
She built me a macaroni ring. I do thee wed.
I understood that when she made me an ashtray out of clay and hardened.
What would his engagement ring look like?
Just three pieces of macaroni glued together, spray painted silver.
Got it from a quarter machine, I did.
I love you, dude.
She made him one of those Cheerios strung on yarn necklaces.
Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. Stop calling me dad. Start calling me
dad. The wedding ring is just a sucker ring.
It's a ring pop.
Ring pop. Yep. Oh
God. God.
This is fucked. By the way,
it is.
We're not like approving pedophilia.
No.
We're just pointing out the ridiculousness of this.
Yeah, we're doing parody because
fucking dark.
It's hard because it's the one point in contention I have with Edgar Allan Poe.
I mean, when your wife gets jazzed up with what the prize is in the Cracker Jack box,
she's too young for you, bro.
If she knows like three or four good solid Bazooka Joe jokes,
if she's young enough to go in the bounce house, she might be too young for you.
Yes.
If the way she conveys news articles is a copy that was made on Silly Putty.
Yeah.
Yeah, if she still answers when Dora the Explorer asks a question, she's too young.
Your mailman says, no, I can't give the mail to you. You're too young.
Yes. Oh, my God. We're almost done. Okay. So, Sarah Helen Whitman.
When your honeymoon is at Toys R Us. Okay. When a romantic night out is Chuck E. Cheese.
If she's not tall enough to go on the roller coaster. Mm-hmm.
baby. I don't know.
Our wedding song was "It's a Small World After All."
Oh my god.
Gets really excited when they throw candy at a parade.
I don't even care if anybody likes us anymore. I just love the fact that we're joking around about this stuff.
@Larry_God_ Send all hate tweets there.
I get a feeling this will appear again at the end of the year.
I love it. Okay, let's finish this up. Okay, so Sarah Helen Whitman, who's a poet, lived in Providence. He proposed. Their engagement failed because he was an erratic behavior. There's also strong evidence that Whitman's mother interfered and tried to ruin their relationship. After that, he returned to Richmond and resumed a relationship with his childhood sweetheart, Sarah Elmira Royster.
Her childhood.
Yes.
Well, it's funny to me, too, because she was initially, she was engaged to him.
A hall monitor?
Then he got in the service. Mm-hmm. And then when he came back, she was engaged to another man.
Another boy.
Yep.
Which, I mean, come on, man. That sucks. Like,
That's a bitch move.
He lost two moms. And then the one woman he fell in love with was like, I'm engaged to you. And then he goes like, I'm going to join the service and be a real man. And then he comes back and she's like,
married.
My bad.
And he's like, well, you know what? You know who doesn't have boyfriends? 8-year-olds.
And we'll talk about that in the second segment. We'll see you on the other side.
Hello, Conspiracy Therapy listeners. Are you subscribed to our Patreon yet? You're not? Well, for $5 extra a month, you can get an extra show a week. Pray tell, Larry, what would those shows be? Well, wouldn't you know it, I just happen to have a clip here for you to listen to.
We got our own thing going on with our dick size.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If it's not 13 inches, it's considered small in the porn world.
Right. Well, this was comments on a video with a guy who didn't have a 13-inch dick. And it says, the first comment comes from SavageMan69420, who says,
boy, that guy must be 16.
Yep.
Judging by that username.
My man's rocking a chode.
Do you think there's porn stars who like scroll to see their reviews on Pornhub?
I think so.
Think so?
I would. They're curious. Yeah,
it's a bad idea, is all I'm saying.
The next comment is, dude's cock looks like a deformed xenomorph head.
What? Nice.
I've seen the video.
Does it?
It's like this much, and then there's a huge head.
Oh, it's a giant head and a giant shaft.
So if you like what you hear, you can subscribe at patreon.com/ Beer City Media Podcasts. That's patreon.com/ Beer City Media Podcasts. Now on with the show.
Can't buy me love.
Second segment time. The Shoops are here. We are. Are you a Shoop too?
Am I a Shoop? I'm a Shoop through injection.
Okay.
By whom? Did Josh inject you? Is there something I should know about here?
He did.
There's a movie coming out next summer.
Injection.
My bad. I slept with your cat, so I guess I'm a Shoop now.
Or are the cat's hair eggs now?
That's true. Ask yourself, loyal listener.
Meow! Meow! Purr, purr, purr!
It gives a whole new meaning to when Ryan says, I love pussy.
True.
Very literal.
Look,
I do love pussy. But it's time for me to talk about my things. So, April did a great job of explaining the life and times of Edgar Allan Poe. He was a good... I would say he was a good dude. Even though we have some differentiating opinions on this.
Yeah.
I mean...
It shouldn't be differentiating.
I mean...
It's pretty bad.
When you had to put your wife on one of those kid harnesses.
If she can only drink her drink through a sippy cup.
She's got a monkey tail and she's like running off and you got a waist band attached to her.
When the two of you, your favorite show is Dora the Explorer.
Hey man, it was enthralling. I'm running out of reasons why I can say he's okay.
It's definitely the one thing that bothers me about him.
Me too. Clearly me too. That's all I'm harping on.
So, Edgar Allan Poe. He died.
I'm
age 40 in a gutter outside of a pub.
Weirdly enough, how I see you going out.
Look, man. Look.
He's responsible. He drinks at home.
It's true. This is kind of my home. I mean, I'm close enough. I can put my, like, I can literally put my slippers on and come to Josh's house and watch the debate, fall asleep before anybody finishes the debate. Josh can poke me with his finger and say, hey.
I was trying to get the dogs to wake him up.
Well, Riley's just going to piss on me anyway.
He's a good boy.
He is a good boy. They're both good boys.
When your bride follows sex up with a candy cigarette. I'm just saying.
So he spent the last 5 days after being found in a gutter, muttering to spirits and ghosts. He had completely lost his mind. Now, I think a lot of... I think a lot of people have problems with this because they think specifically that Edgar Allan Poe was schizophrenic. Now, if you think about it, at the time, the best mental health you could have was booze. I mean, there was no medication. You could get thrown in a home.
But you still want medication.
Right. No therapy. No, like, well-researched, like, psychiatrist sitting down with you and explaining to you why you have these different thoughts. So, at the time, we're talking pre-Civil War, which I think I've brought up a few times, but it's just like, what do you do? Because a lot of schizophrenia really comes about in your 20s for men, specifically men. I don't know what this
is. It that early? Are. I guess, I guess it would kind of.
Everything that I've read, especially from serial killers in the 70s, has happened in their.
Right.
I think there are signs of it when you're younger, but it doesn't really manifest until you're older.
A lot of head injuries. A lot of like,
what was that?
A lot of like head injuries or like somebody, molestation, fires, bedwetting, animal torture. Those are kind of like some of the big, like, whoops, my bad. I just kicked a Ninja Turtle down a drain.
Unfortunately, in this case, the bedwetting was coming from his wife.
Jesus Christ. You know, what's funny about it is Larry
was a cute couple because he was in Depends and she was in Huggies.
Ha 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 ha!
buy macaroni cheese and it has to be the dinosaur shaped ones?
Just saying.
So,
when she gets pumped and jazzed because you bought the Crayolas with the sharpener in it.
On October 7th.
Look, I'm 31 and I still get pumped and jazzed when it has the sharpener. Don't you take that away from me.
Edgar Allan Poe died on October 7th, 1949.
Year after my dad's birth.
Really?
1949? Really? 1949?
1849. Oh, no, my dad was not born in
1849. I was going to say, wow, Larry, you're older than I thought.
I probably
saying
am.
Saying something.
Yeah. His last words, you ready?
Goo goo gaga.
It was his wife's last words.
We'll never let that get lived down. Mm. His last words.
Lord help my poor soul. He's a God-fearing man.
Okay.
Considering his literature, which was phenomenal. Your dogs are like gang raping each other right
there
now.
There's like a fucking unsanctioned WWE match going on in that living room.
Riley's like, let me throat fuck you.
And the other dog's like, let me fucking anal bang you. And the cats are like, God damn, this is gross.
It's not us.
You're right.
And then the cats get involved.
Wow, they're really going at it.
They have the zoomies.
Yep.
Ah, the zoomies. He died at the age of 40 soon after getting engaged. He was engaged before he died.
She was six.
But she was also the woman he was first engaged to before he went into the army and...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How many times has this guy been engaged?
Robbing
four or five times?
Robbing the coffin.
Well, what's crazy is even after... Now, we know about the poem Annabel Lee, which is definitely a reference to Virginia, his first cousin that he married. But he literally tried to find the next woman for him soon after she died.
Seems like he was addicted to relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needed a female. Like, men failed him his whole life.
Right.
They were angry and died like his dad or with John Allen. Like, it became a thing that he dealt with. Like, they all died. They were all angry. They were all terrible people who didn't leave him any money. Like, John Allen didn't.
Well, I don't expect money from my parents when they die. I'm sure I'll get some, but like if they decided to give all their money away to charity, I'd be cool with that.
Right.
I'm self-sufficient. I can make it work happen.
Well, in this case too, considering he came into John Allen's life with his mom and she was gone so soon afterwards. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about that. He wasn't his kid, and some people are weird about that.
Yeah. I mean, you're not owed anything.
Right.
So he died at the age of 40 soon after getting engaged. He'd gone missing and was found after not knowing where he was for 5 days. He was missing for five days.
In there.
That's a big bender.
Right? Yeah, right?
By the way, he was in clothes that were not fitting and didn't look like his.
Nice.
So he always wore...
I've done that. I came just
randomly wear a dress.
I had someone's jacket. I have no idea whose jacket was, but I came home and I had a jacket.
Nice.
That was that was my brother's birthday party.
Andy or Bob? Oh,
yep.
And it fit.
I feel like you're closer to Bob than Andy.
Yeah, we're 2 years. We're like 2 years and like,
okay,
we were tight.
I get that. It's like you and William. You guys are super tight.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, we took them out.
Me and April are super tight.
21st birthday party.
It's our thing.
Mm-hmm.
You guys suck.
Got a limo.
Ooh.
Yeah, we did. And then we took him to a strip club. I did not go in.
I've never been to a strip club.
Neither have I. Have no interest.
Yeah, I have no interest either. I figure if I take that money and take Aaron out for a nice dinner, I'm guaranteed to get some. So you know what I mean? Sweet.
Yeah, well, it was.
And that part of it is that she is not comfortable with me there. So right. Why go?
Mm-hmm. If like, okay, if I was single or if Josh was single, obviously I wouldn't care. But like being in a relationship and going to a strip club is different.
I think being older, like when I was younger, I was like, no, she couldn't. No, no.
Well, especially now you're going to go to a strip club and see an 18-year-old wrestling with the pole and be like, ooh, this is uncomfortable.
For me now, if she was like, I'm going to a strip club, I'm like, cool, have fun. I mean, really? Right? I mean, what? I know where she's going home.
Yeah.
And I think girls treat strip clubs a little differently than guys. I think they're like, woohoo, then they back away. And
yeah, it's more of a novelty thing than a like, oh, I'm going to go home and jerk off to the thought of this greasy man body rolling up my face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all sweaty.
Oh, God. Worst,
glasses.
Worst experience of my life is when I had a male stripper body roll up me and his body oil smeared my glasses.
Now you're in a club. You can't find like a claw, those nice claws.
Exactly. I had to use the fucking drink napkin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I could see that. Not a good time.
Yeah, when I was younger, I was like, oh, strip club. Now I'd be like, yeah, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you age, I guess. I don't know. Whatever.
So there are many.
Have you been to a strip club, Brian?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've been.
Cool.
It was interesting.
How was the buffet? That's my question.
How's
they got wings?
I've heard that there are some strip clubs that have amazing buffets. That's, like steak and whatnot. You're talking about legs and eggs, right? I just made that up.
You did, but it sounded like something.
Like chicken legs and eggs.
Legs and eggs or something.
Ooh, chicken. I've never been steak. To a place that has boobs and fucking food.
Hooters has great wings.
Their mozzarella sticks are really good too.
Because I think I've told the story before. We're like, I always joke with Aaron, what do you want to go to dinner? Hooters. This is when we had a Hooters in Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. She's like, fine, we're going to Hooters. We go to Hooters. The waitress plays tic tac toe with ketchup with me, whatever, you know, doing the flirty thing that they gotta do. And then, we got wings, and I was like, these are good, but I don't know if I ever want to go here again. So,
yeah, I would feel weird
bad for the waitress. I don't know.
I would feel weird if someone was flirting with Josh in front of me. I'm already like weirded out enough by that, that like he'll tell me like, oh, this lady gave me a water bottle out on my road. And I'm like, where does she fucking live?
Wow. Well, I was like with Aaron, I was trying to get her to play as well.
Right.
Like,
to make it not weird.
Yeah.
I knew my girlfriend was great right now because she's like, So, who was the last person that you liked on Instagram before me?
Uh oh.
I was like,
Stripperella.
And it was some comedy post, and it made sense to me, but then she was also like, don't think I'm not paying attention to what you like on Instagram.
Jeez, tell her not to follow your Twitter account. Yeah, no, Christ almighty.
Follow that conspiracy therapy Twitter account.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I thought it was cute. She looked into it a little bit. She's like, I love all the people that you love.
Jitties. Jitties. Jitties.
I was basically waiting for her to be like, now, Twitter, I just ignored.
That's tame.
But Instagram, that's great. I appreciate somebody that just wants to know that I'm not full of shit. I get that. It's somebody who just loves me, and that's great.
I'll see things on, Facebook or YouTube or whatever, videos of like them. Oh, don't you dare give your phone to your girl. I'm like, well, why not? Like, Aaron knows my code. What do I care?
Like, we know each other's passwords. Yeah. I don't ever feel like I need to go on his phone.
I know if she's going onto my phone, it's for Uber Eats.
That's how you know you're married.
I know a sub's going to show up in 20 minutes.
If that's the price you have to pay, then take my phone. Make sure to add some bacon to it.
That's right.
Chicken and bacon.
So there are basically five different ways that Edgar Allan Poe could have died.
Oh, they don't know?
No.
Did they not do an autopsy?
Well, that's why it's a deathspiracy. They did.
Welcome, Larry.
Thank you.
To the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast.
Hour and 25 minutes later.
So basically, I'm going to speed through this.
29.
There were five different reasons. Clock. One, he had a issue with drinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe he got roughed up by local hooligans and then basically got in a fight and got beaten to death.
Mm-hmm. He didn't seem like a... I guess if you're drunk, you can say stupid shit.
Yeah.
The episode 21.
He was...
I think that was chemtrails.
I'm trying not to go that route, but he was beaten by his fiance's brothers. Ooh. So he did become recently...
Engaged. Clearly they didn't care for
no,
him.
No, they did not.
Well, she was seven.
He wasn't famous.
Was that his fiance? He was famous. Sarah something Lee? Or other?
It was a, yeah. Make it was something.
Swiss cake rolls?
Mm.
Those are my favorite Sara Lee.
Nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. she did. Well, because I had mentioned earlier that like that was a huge part of why they broke off their engagement was because their entire family was like, fuck this Po guy. So they did everything in their power to break them up.
Think about that. He loses every female and all the guys are shitheads.
Okay, so you get into a relationship and the family hates you. Do you? I bail.
I lived that life and now I'm married.
Oh my God. I guess. Yeah, that's right. You told that story. Yep. Jesus.
My mother-in-law is not a fan. I don't know why. Now, I think I'm right? delightful.
You
but...
are.
Well, now her whole family hates me, but
yeah, it's fine. We'll swap sides. I'm actually really close with his mom now.
My mom loves you, by the way. And I've told her why she should love you.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love your mom too.
Well,
mom texts me sometimes. We're like texting buds. I'm just saying,
I told my mom that you're one of my best friends.
You're one of my best friends too.
Thank you.
It's 11.
I
know.
All right, so then Edgar Allan Poe died.
No.
No, I'm sorry. So there was this thing called cooping, which is basically...
The Dutch know that.
No, it wasn't couponing, but it was basically where they could take somebody... Okay. They could make them vote for somebody, pull them back. Ouch. I hit my funny bone.
Just busted his arm up on the bed.
No, but they would literally take this person back, throw a mustache on them, go vote again. So they could continuously make them vote as long as they had.
I told you they were doing that.
Are you okay? Do we need to walk you to the med center? It really did. I heard that.
He's using this as an excuse to call in tomorrow.
There was his arm. Just
I called it enough. Oh, that really did hurt. So there were enough different costumes that they put on.
Put a dress on.
Those different Harpo Marx glasses with the nose and the mustache.
Right.
So the idea was that
we can politicians voting.
Politicians could hire thugs, like local thugs, and be like, hey, here's some money for booze. Go find like some lowly drunkard and make him vote multiple times. It's how we're going to win. It was a big deal in Baltimore at the time. So that's where he's from. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. He's so popular, they called the Baltimore Ravens the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
Really?
I didn't even know that.
Oh. Really?
Wow, that's crazy.
That makes sense.
I thought you would start this episode by saying that.
I honestly just thought they picked the teams because they liked the animals. I had no idea that they had any kind of relevance.
No, I mean...
Like the Cleveland Browns is named after the first team's owner. Brown.
Gotcha.
To me, honest to God, and I'm going to say this legitimately, I think Edgar Allan Poe should be above King, Craven, everybody. I think he should be the standard for horror. I just think he's way better than those people, so I understand why they would name the Ravens.
Here's Josh playing.
Now, there were also
100-yard field goals.
There were also rumors that he had a brain tumor.
Mm.
There was also rumors that he got beaten like in a drunken brawl.
Well, and a brain tumor too, that could explain some of his erratic behavior later on in life.
He had this weird condition that, let me see if I can find it.
It's called loving kids.
Don't be ignorant. Dysophemia. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Was that a Def Leppard album name?
Yeah. we're just going to skip
it. There was a
stomach condition that according to different doctors, he had.
Mm-hmm. But he was a drinker.
But he could drink a whole. Now, I'm not saying drink a whole, but I'm saying he would literally drink a glass of wine and just be ripped.
Mm. Oh, that's like late stage liver disease as well.
And if he's been drinking heavily for years, if he went on a good bender, that could.
But it happened a few times where his sister metabolized
too quickly. And
yep. Mm-hmm. And his sister had the same thing. So they thought it was genetic. Mm-hmm. They would literally have like, because they were talking about it in one of the documentaries I listened to where they would pour like a, not like a super tall, like short glass of whiskey, but he would have like a quarter shot of whiskey and he would down it and they'd just be like,
sloshed.
Ouch.
Imagine if that was all it took.
That'd be nice. That'd save me a lot of fucking money.
All right. Gotta start drinking Coors.
Right.
But anyway, so there was a lot of different things that happened at the time. And a lot of people don't know what happened. Like I said, there were 5 days where he was missing. No one knows where he was. He was also re-engaged to his
first love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was that the one who went off with another dude?
Yep.
One that while he was away.
In the service. Mm-hmm. Which is super tragic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. His whole life is really tragic.
Was probably every other one of his fiance's ages combined. Look, I'm just saying, if you need to find out your age difference with your wife and use multiplication. Instead of subtraction or addition. I don't know.
Well,
when you divide and there's a remainder.
Right. Edgar Allan Poe, I love you, man. You were my first favorite rock star. And even before Mr. Rogers, I thought Mr. Rogers was a nerd at the time. So this would have been 6th or 7th grade. You were like literally the first person I thought was super cool. Mm-hmm. Pop culture wise.
I can't unhear. Just there's a guy in a sound studio just going,
The guy got paid.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like he could be Christian Bale, too.
Sounds a little bit like Ryan.
What the fuck are you doing? Oh, good for you.
It sounds like me, too.
Isolate that beginning.
Christian Quayle?
That would be me in the... that would be me in the... what is it called? That would be me in the bathroom.
Oh, good for you.
To Marty.
Oh, with his shirt off. Turns his back and just starts yelling at his ass.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yep.
And he wipes.
Oh, good for you.
All right. We got to get real about this.
Yes.
We got to have a verdict. We got to get real about it. All right. 4 podcasters you know and love and trust. In the other corner,
a stroller.
What your pickup line is, would you like some nerds? Candy?
All right.
Okay.
When your pickup line is, where's your mom?
What if her favorite meal is Gerber's?
Edgar Allan Poe! We have to ask ourselves, how did he die? Anybody can go.
I'm going to go with the fact that he is probably a combination of a few things. Everyone probably knew that he was a drunk. And,
I poop with my shirt on.
Oh, well, there's
pussy.
Good to know.
Age moved on.
I think that he probably was taken out and got a little lit and was... And if there was elections around that time, they probably used him, and he probably had a little too much, and between that and maybe getting beaten up, he was killed. And honestly, I'm going to be the one to say good.
Wow.
Because I have absolutely zero tolerance when it comes to pedophiles. Mm-hmm. Zero.
That's a good amount of tolerance to have.
I don't
care. That's the perfect amount of tolerance to have.
I don't care what he did in his life. He could have wrote the poem.
So wait. Are you saying that you don't appreciate Edgar Allan Poe at all because you know that
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Because I already had little...
can't separate the art from the artist.
I already didn't care for his art.
Okay.
Fair enough. And the fact that he now know that this dude was a pedophile makes me...
That's fucked up. I won't even take him down here.
Exactly. we talked about on another show, our heroes. And I said, as an example, John Petrucci. If I were to find out he was a pedophile, I would stop listening to Dream Theater.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's definitely a game changer.
So I'm not upset that he died. And good. Yeah, that's it. Fuck him.
Yeah, when your dial, your ringtone is... It's probably not...
Good. Right. I am going to go ahead and say, I think it was, like Josh said, I think it was a combination of things. Due to like the super erratic behavior, I would probably contribute that more to a brain tumor or some sort of like head injury issue. Probably combined with the fact that he was like a raging alcoholic towards the end. And like hypothetically speaking, if he got drunk and got into a bar fight and he got knocked out or any kind of head injury combined with a brain tumor could easily have killed him. It's so open-ended. There's really not, it's hard to say. It really is. But, I don't appreciate the pedophilia, but he is a remarkable writer. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of writers from that time, a lot of artists just in general, have done super shitty things. And I can separate the art from the art from the artist, so to speak, because without Poe ushered in a whole new style of writing and wrote such amazing things that I don't overlook his pedophilia,
right.
But at the same time, you can't overlook how influential he was to modern day writing stylistically.
I think there was some sort, it's to me, it sounds like some sort of underlying liver condition, because he's getting drunk fast.
Right.
The big drinker, that's of course going to compound on that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think that is, my guess, you know, with my medical degree and all. and the separate the art from the artist, man, that is a tough thing to do with at times. I mean, I guess that made me think of Bill Cosby.
Right.
Like, his comedy was, before you knew, he was a fucking serial rapist.
I thought of Jerry Lee Lewis.
That's another, yeah, I mean, Elvis.
Mm-hmm. I totally thought of Jerry Lee Lewis.
The art is definitely different from the artist, but it does come from the art. It's really fucking hard to juggle those things. I mean, I honestly have not listened to a Bill Cosby thing since. So clearly it affects me.
Right.
The way I see it with the art, though, is like, how many comedians can you think of in a minute? Tons of them, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
you don't have to go to that same art. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You don't have to go to Cosby, you know, and I loved Ghost Dad when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But if I never see Ghost Dad again, I'm fine with that.
You're ghosting on Ghost Dad.
Exactly.
Ooh.
There's other options.
There is. But obviously the man had
clear effect on things because we're still talking mm-hmm. about him to this day. And people, it seems like you were saying, Ryan, mm-hmm. that those documentaries kind of glazed over the 12-year-old, like he probably glazed her.
Yeah.
Ooh, like a Krispy Kreme.
No, they all missed the point. I had to go back. I had to go back and like actually pay attention to like yeah. the facts of what the time was mm-hmm. to find out. Like, oh,
well, that's the kind of stuff that they always want to glaze over.
You brought up. Well, I wouldn't Let's glaze like, over
we,
that.
We know about, but we don't focus on it, even though we should.
Yes,
you know.
That's way too young for a guy that's in his 20s.
The same thing. Like, didn't he adopt her? So yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. that's really fucked up.
Yeah. All right. So, guys, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're just going to say this. I honestly think when it comes to Edgar Allan Poe, I have full faith in his writing abilities, but he had some issues mentally.
Yes. You can be more than one thing. You can be one mm-hmm. more than one thing at once.
The
pedophilia and great art can exist at the same time.
Right.
That said, and like Josh said, you don't have to consume it.
Well, yeah. A big deal for me was that at the time there was no medicine. There was mm-hmm. no way to figure this out. Mm-hmm. He was definitely in the age where he could have done something like super fucked up.
At least he wasn't a serial killer.
At least he wasn't. But he wrote some stories of great serial killers. Mm-hmm. The Telltale Heart is one of my favorites. And the cask of Amontillado.
Amontillado.
Yeah. I always fucked that up.
Wouldn't you say that most artists suffer some trauma?
Oh, for sure.
Always. I mean, it's very rare you get a Jerry mm-hmm. Seinfeld.
Yeah.
You know, who's well adjusted and
mm-hmm. or Joshua Shoup. How did we happen to find this guy?
You can find
him. Oh no, he's got plenty of trauma. It's you fine.
Can find him on bandcamp.com.
True. Anyway, yeah, I love this subject. So look it up. Figure it out on your own. It realistically, mm-hmm. this is you can't ask us to figure this out. This is something you have to think about on your own.
Okay, I'm personally, just saying if your bride-to-be is registering at Build-A-Bear or Toys R Us.
That's been your verdict.
If your bride-to-be is taking the local toy store ad and circling all the things they want for Christmas, she might be too young for you.
Yeah, she wants a sandbox, maybe.
Well, that's your episode, ladies and gentlemen.
That was good. Yeah. If we had time, I'd read a poem, but I mean, it's pretty late.
It's very late. Very late. We have a 10, not a 10. We have a recommendation on our Facebook.
We'll save that.
We'll save it for next week.
Yeah. It's fucking late.
It gives you something to anticipate. It's
good. Good. I like the good ones.
Yeah, we don't. I'd like to do another reading of bad mm-hmm. reviews sometime, but they're so far and few between, we have to let them build up.
That's right. Too many.
Because we're so awesome.
Yeah.
I will say, listen to the latest 80s. Hit number 3 in the pop charts on Podomatic.
Nice.
You like gangbusters right now. It's getting popular.
Awesome. Which I love because I've been offered from not just a person we all know to join the network, but I've been offered by many people because they're very happy with what we've done.
I think we don't put on a lot, mm-hmm. but we make sure it counts when we do.
For sure.
Of course. You know, it's funny. With covering this Deathspiracy, I feel like we all get very passionate about certain things we want to cover, mm-hmm. and I don't think this just comes from a nonsense area. Like, we actually have a good time doing this, and we're all friends and mm-hmm. brothers and sisters. I'm not. No.
I love you. I love you, Josh, too. And I love April.
Yay. No, actually, I mean, all three of you guys are going to have to be in my wedding. Her name's Tia Carrera. I just met her. Is it cool?
I've not met your girlfriend. I'm just saying, everybody else has, but I haven't.
All right, real time.
Let's keep it that way if we're going to get to the wedding.
I know, right? Yeah, I seem to be the...
She's snake bite, so to speak.
She's swear. She'll warm up to you. Before you know it, you're going to talk to
hopefully
her.
Hopefully, not like by going up and rubbing up against you to warm up.
No. I'm saying she's going to make you. Disturbing you thing guys to watch. Are going to be friends, and then before you know it, she's going to be like, "You're a vegan."
That's not going to happen.
This guy's wearing a shirt with Ron Swanson on it.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
Give me all the eggs and bacon.
No, sir. I'm afraid you didn't hear me. I want all your eggs and bacon. That's my kind of breakfast.
Yep.
That's a good breakfast.
Well, anyway, we have. Do we have a hint for next?
No,
we don't even know.
We even know what we're doing for next week.
We're so far ahead on this episode.
I'm not big on that. Hints.
You don't like it? Okay.
Here's a hint.
I like the hints, maybe like in a Facebook post where it's kind of really.
Oh, I got one. Here's the hint for next week. You're gonna get an episode.
Man, spoiler
it will
alert.
Be
either, fucking spoiler alert.
It'll be over an hour
conspiracy
long.
Or a cult or a cryptid or maybe mobster? It'll be a mobster or you maybe guys? It'll be a ghost.
Wait, too much.
Sorry.
If you think it's too much, leave your
credit card number
at
937-504-9504.
Just saying.
I like my answer more.
You know what's weird is I'm on some, like, somebody tried to use that voicemail number for school. So at some point I should read you the whole thread that I've gotten from this class.
Oh, no.
Because I believe it's Japanese Americans learning English. I'm judging by the pictures I've got and the kind of the thread and the language at use.
It was just Ryan calling
them. It was Ryan just drunk, yeah.
Hurrah! I want to leave a message. Nice.
Oh,
Lord. Does anybody have anything they want to throw out there before we end this bad beer?
Nope.
Probably true.
Ryan's drunk.
Some of my favorite sounds on the planet.
All right. We'll see you next week. Another episode of the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast. Have a great one, guys.
Can you picture how a melody gets thought into existence? Rhythm section hits it and upholds it with persistence. Picture in the outline and you start to see the colors. Filling in with intricate splashes by all the brothers. Michelle is on the joint, you mean Miss Indigo or cello? No wonder why the hump inside this joint is feeling ghetto. A medal or award should be given to these heroes for their efforts of revealing and bringing forth the feeling. I'm reeling, poetic, I say, a great proportion. I hope my little nuance is correct for this distortion. But I say why I say, and who is to say? Cause Roy makes the tune what it is today. Rhythmically, we in this lake of jeans. Know what I mean? It's only right that me and Mr. Wright, we hail from Queens. The overtone of funk is being driven by the students. The benevolence of Roy issued me this jurisprudence. To speak or rhyme, put it in a hipper term. I'm just a humble little germ, just a hipper version. Poetic, I mean truly indeed how every seed can sprinkles with the essence of life to form our breed. Think about it, sweetie, why we give this to the needy. The musical expression is important for progression. Never stop learning lessons, and neither should y'all. Before we all stand, must acknowledge a fall.
This has been a presentation of Beer City Media.